Well, when you look at tournament wins, sometimes one more important than another when it comes to money. But really, the first win that you get at a tour level is very, very important. With me today is Andy Morgan. Andy, you know, you've been doing this for a very, very long time and have been bass fishing and have success across all the trails you've ever fished. But nice to get in that first tour win.
Oh, man, it is. It's like I said before, that I'm just glad to get the monkey off my back. Man, I've done this for a long time. I've won a lot of tournaments, you know, won a lot of the Everstart tournaments, bass, BFLs, and never a tour win. So this is a good one to get off my back, man. I've tried for a long time and put a lot of effort forward.
Well, and it's funny because I know you as a flipper and a pitcher and a power fisherman, and now you go out and now are having to learn how to finesse fish a little bit. But I think the trails are kind of lending itself to that anymore with 200 boat, you know, fields and a lot of people banging on them all week long ahead of the event. You've got to learn that finesse technique as well.
Yes, you do. It's big, especially on this side of the fence over here at the FLW Tour where you have the 200 boats. You better learn how to finesse fish over here because they get beat up so quick. And a lot of these lakes we go to are pretty tough. The finesse technique, it's getting to be king over here on this side. Very, very few power tournaments do we have anymore over here.
Well, let's break this day down a little bit, you know, in particular, you know, I guess not the day, but the tournament week. And talk a little bit, if you can, about what you did and how you did it. But I guess one thing I want to mention, too, is there's one particular dock that I'm sure Jay Ellis is going to remember pretty handily as he finished second in the event. But he ran out of fish, and you just kept grinding on him, kept doing your thing. But break down, if you would, you know, on how you fished and how you caught these fish.
Well, the first couple of days, you know, I was pretty much doing like Jay. I had one school of fish where a saddle came off of an island and went to the mainland. There was a 90-degree bend where the saddle met the mainland. Well, I was catching them there on a jackal wakebait, that Mikey Jr., when they were schooling, and a swarming hornet, a 3/16-ounce swarming hornet with a little tiny fluke, zoom tiny fluke on there. And, you know, I could catch them like the first 20 minutes of the day, that first two mornings of the tournament. Well, after that went on for a little while, they got a little tougher. They wouldn't come up nearly as often. I mean, every now and then you see one pop, but it was pretty random. The swarming hornet played a little effect on the third morning. I caught them, I don't know, around 8 o'clock. I had the wind get on a little place. I ended up catching three over there on the little swarming hornet, but they wouldn't really come up in school. And pretty much the rest of the, all 4 days even, I ran around with a 1/8-ounce Wario shaky head and a Zoom finesse worm, and I just fished methodically, Larry Nixon slow, the rest of the day. So I had a little short window, maybe 20, 30 minutes in the mornings where I could catch them schooling, and the rest of the time I was just fishing super slow, spinning rod, 8-pound line, the shaky head, the finesse worm, and just really, really saturating everything that I came to.
Well, you mentioned something. First thing is, comes to mind to me is I don't remember you ever owning a spinning rod, but I'm sure you had to have one in the boat. And, you know, G. Loomis has been really good about building some pretty good quality stuff. But when you look back at it, you mentioned the Larry Nixon slow, and I think it's important for us to note that as well, is that with 200 boat fields, you've really got to grind and pick every piece of cover apart, I would think.
Yes, you do. I mean, that is so important. You know, I sit here and watch Larry win two or three of these deals and do very, very well. I mean, because he is very methodical, and he knows these tough areas. He knows a tough lake when he gets there. He knows when to slow down and when to pick stuff apart. And, you know, I've tried to teach myself this over the last 3 or 4 years. Once the power fishing started to tail off, I mean, you better do other things if you want to make a living over here on this side with 200 boats. You've got to change your techniques and your mindset.
Well, my feeling would be, and you look at this, and I guess from the outside looking in, there's some guys that really do well in a whack fest environment where you just go out and everybody's catching them and you just kind of, yeah, you know, you cull through a mess of them. And then you've got a tournament like you had at Beaver where you got to really be selective and, you know, make that bait go in the proper spot every time and stuff. It would seem to me you'd be better at the whack fest, but is it better that you at the finesse bite now that you've learned that?
You pretty much know me there. Yes. The whack fest used to be my deal. I mean, I could get in there with a big flipping stick, 25-pound line, and whale on them. It's probably as good or better than most. Spinner bait, buzz bait, that type of stuff, that was my deal. Anymore, started to change my mindset. I'm getting that confidence. When you go to a lake that you don't have the slug fest, where you've got the clear water, where you've got tough, tough conditions, I've got a lot more confidence with my spinning gear to go out there and compete, make the cut, and possibly win the tournament. This was a surprise. Don't get me wrong. This is kind of a point in my career that I was really surprised to win this event on the techniques that I'd chosen.
you were a tall guy. You know, you're not a short guy. And I know when the bedding season comes along, I always think the tall guys have an advantage. But, you know, as you look back at this and you think about now getting that cardboard check, which I have a lot of fun talking about, is it important that now you're starting to become more versatile? I mean, you've been doing this for, what, 12, 13 years as a pro?
Yeah, I started the tournament trail in 96. You know, I pretty much have followed FLW. Yeah, I'm getting a lot more versatile. I mean, just because times are changing. And we started out, we had 150 boats, which that's quite a few boats, but it wasn't 200. But 200 boats puts a lot of pressure on a lake. I mean, you better be versatile. And a lot of these lakes that we're going to are metropolitan areas. They're highly pressured before we even get there. You better be picky and choosy about your technique.
You go from Dardanelle to Beaver, and now you're going to go to the Potomac. That's going to be a whack fest again, I would think.
There we go back to the whack fest, and I'm really looking forward to that. I'm really confident. Going to a whack fest is it's kind of throwing a little mix in there, you know. I think I came in 12th the last time we were at the Potomac, and you missed the cut 5 or 6 ounces up there. So I'm looking forward to getting back to there. But, you know, kind of surprising. I didn't catch all my fish power fishing there. I don't think I've ever told anybody that. I caught a few of my fish doing some other things.
You're a smart guy, number one, and, you know, you hang in the right quarters because you've been around winning for a long, long time. But to get that tour win and really to cash in on a $201,000 paycheck, that has to be something now you go, hey, I've got the confidence now. I can go out and do this again.
Yeah, it really gave me a lot of confidence. Really put me forward to looking at the next event and really trying to win. You can see yourself winning the next event. Beforehand, you might see yourself getting a check or a $10,000 check. Man, I'd really love to go there and get a $10,000 check. I don't know. It gives you a taste of blood. You want to go there and win the next one. I mean, I'm looking really forward to that.
Well, it's funny. You see guys like Denny Brower, and you mentioned Larry Nixon, those guys that have won lots of events. Kevin Van Dam comes to mind as well.
Oh, yeah.
And you start thinking about they got to get that taste of blood more than maybe some of the other guys. But once you get it, it seems like a roll begins.
Yes. I don't know. I guess it's something that hangs with you. You just want it that much more. I mean, I don't know. This is my first major win, but really gives a change in my mindset to what I'm leaving the house to do.
Well, you're from a small town in Tennessee, and what are the neighbors and the people around you that know you've won this thing? Are people coming over, ringing your doorbell, asking for loans?
Dude, I got a house full now.
That's great.
We've been over here loading up 5-gallon buckets full of concrete with planks sticking out of them to go put structure in the lake, actually. And I've got 2 or 3 of my friends out here right now. We've been talking about the win and, you know, what's going on, fish biting around here. Just pretty much general conversation. Everybody just wants to come by and say hi and, you know, congratulations and, you know, where are you going next?
Is that freeloader that hangs around at your house, is he over there with you, Luke Clausen?
Luke is actually, I think he went to match fishing today at Kentucky Lake.
So he's moving on. He's doing a little match fishing deal, so you don't have to put up with him stealing.
Oh, yeah, he's on the road today. He's going up there to try to get him a little practice in and try to win that match fishing deal again. He's been pretty successful over there at that and among other places.
Well, I got to ask you, now, does he help you put groceries in the refrigerator or does he just eat them?
Every now and then, you know, he might bring a gallon of milk home or maybe a box of cereal or something like that. He'll contribute there a little bit every now and then.
Well, he says, you get the steaks, I'll get the milk. How's that?
There you go.
Well, you know, I think a lot of folks may not know that, you know, he does spend a lot of time with you as he's looking for property down in your neck of the woods and
right. Trying
to find some place. But, you know, what a great partner you would be. Have somebody that you can borrow a bedroom from or maybe make a second home from. And I got to give you some accolades there. I think that's very, very important. I'm sure it's helpful.
Well, I appreciate it. I thank the world of Luke. You know, I'm going to give him some credit, too. He's helped me a lot. I mean, he's brought some Western techniques back here, and we fish around home here and whatnot. He has improved my finesse fishing, I'm going to say 90%. He's gave me a lot of confidence in it because he is so confident in it. It puts a lot of fish in your boat.
Well, Andy, I guess the final thing is, of course, you've moved boat companies. You were with Stratus, moved over to Ranger, and, of course, have been with Evinrude a long, long time. And
yes. That's
been probably part of the thing that you've got that comfort level with your boat and motor and some of those kind of things as well.
I really do. You know, I'm really comfortable there at Ranger, though. You know, I've known those guys for a long time. And stepping off from Stratus into Ranger, you know, they made me feel right at home. Got a lot of friends there. And Evinrude is the same way. I've been with these guys for quite a long time, since around 97. They've been very good to me. They've been good to me when, you know, I wasn't on such a roll. And I really appreciate those guys at Ranger, Evinrude. Zoom Bait Company, they've been super to me. War Eagle, I stay with Keith Brashears at Beaver when I go up there every year at Rogers. He owns War Eagle Bait Company. Super, super guy. And, you know, Duracell and FLW, you know, I've got to commend them too. They've been awful good to me last few years.
Well, the move from Stratus to Ranger paid you $50,000, so I think that was probably a pretty good move. I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer, but I can tell you that that move was a good one. Keep that kind of work up.
Yeah, that was a good move. Steve Smith came up to me just as soon as I won the tournament and said, man, I appreciate you coming over here and making the move. I said, Steve Smith, I appreciate you and that 50 grand, man. That makes it all that much sweeter.
Well, Andy, congratulations on a great win, and thanks for being with us at Bass Fan Radio.
Thank you very much. I enjoyed it.
I'm Terry Brown. This has been Bass Fan Radio.